thing that we need to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the early morning light, a small group of men and women were beginning to make an ascent up a mountain. And as they began to climb up that mountain, butterflies were literally all fluttering around in their stomachs. Now, it wasn't butterflies because of the climb, because in all honesty, this wasn't much of a mountain. This was more of a hill. And there were no sharp and steep places to climb. It was an easy ascent. But the butterflies were flittering around in their stomachs because they sensed that something important, something special was going to happen today. After about 20 minutes of climbing, with smiles on their faces, they reached the summit. And as they stood there looking around, they had this strange sense of deja vu. It was as if they had been here before, on this very mountain, experiencing those same butterflies in their stomach. And truth be told, they had been here on this mountain before. Jesus had led them to this mountain 3.5 years ago when he had given them their first commission that you find in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, and I'll begin reading in verse number 5. As Jesus stands with his disciples on this hill, Matthew 10, verse 5 says this: "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Since the death and now the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they recognize that they are no longer standing in the presence of a great rabbi, but they are standing in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you stand in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can't stand very long. You find yourself on the ground at his feet, saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world." And so there they sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus stands there with a smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye, as he looks at them to give them their final commission before Jesus ascends back to heaven. And we find that final commission that Jesus gave there in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, which was read in your presence just moments ago. But let's hear it again as Jesus tells his disciples their final commission. Verse number 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And as the disciples hear the words that Jesus is speaking, as they listen to what he is saying, they realize that there are some similarities between their commissioning in chapter 10 and their commissioning now in chapter 28. In both of those commissions, Jesus tells them it's not your responsibility to sit and wait for people to come, but it's your responsibility to go and make disciples. But there are also some differences between the two. It's clear in the language that this commissioning is greater in scope and magnitude. Because in Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, "I give you authority to heal diseases and to cast out demons." But now Jesus says in Matthew 28, "Through my victorious life, through my death and resurrection, I have all authority over heaven and earth. And I delegate to you that authority to go and make disciples." It's also different in the scope of where Jesus was sending them. In Matthew 10, he said, "Go only to the lost sheep of Israel." And now Jesus says, "Go to all the world, cover it all. Every nation, tribe, tongue, kindred, and people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ." And all of us, as we sit here today, say amen. We recognize this is what we've come to call in the church the great what? The Great Commission. We know it. Most of us can recite it by heart. But I want to ask you this today. We might know the Great Commission, We might be able to recite the Great Commission. But today, are we living the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has given to us to live out as his disciples? And if we're going to do that, then we better hear very clearly the call of what Jesus is saying here. Because Jesus did not say, go into all the world and make church members. Jesus said, I am not interested in church members. I'm interested in disciples who recognize me as the Lord and Savior of their life. Membership is a cheap thing. Discipleship is costly. And so Jesus says, don't go making church members. We probably have enough of those in the world today. What we need in the world today is some disciples of Jesus Christ, radical disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you today, how are we doing it with that, church? How are we doing with that, seminarians? Are you a church member, or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And could I take it even a step further and say, are you a seminarian only, or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yeah, have mercy. Membership's so easy. I can find memberships everywhere I go. Do you find this? If I open up my wallet, I've got membership to Payless, buy some shoes. I've got my Sam's Club membership. I've got my Best Buy membership. I've got my Fast Finish Line membership. I've got a membership to a hotel chain that only exists in Puerto Rico. I went there once and signed up just in case I came back. And the list could go on. But not only do I have all of those clogging up my wallet, I have all those on my keychain. And so I've got Farm and Home on my keychain. I've got Kroger on my keychain. When have you ever seen a Kroger in Berrien Springs? But I've got all these memberships, and they're easy to get. Give them your name, give them some information, and the institution says it's yours. And we take it because we think there may be some personal benefit to ourselves. And the institution gives it because it thinks that hopefully when you go shopping, you'll think of coming to them. Membership is easy. And I can choose, I have a Payless membership card, but I may decide I don't want to go there. I'm going to go buy my shoes somewhere else. All right? Membership comes with very little commitment. And could it be that church membership comes with very little commitment? In the Adventist church, to become a member in the Adventist church, you've got to intellectually agree to 28 fundamental doctrines. Then you've got to go through the initiation rite of baptism. And after that, you're in! You're a member! No need to grow! No need to expand! In fact, do you realize that according to the Seventh-day Adventist Church Manual, to be a member in good standing, the only thing that has to happen is the clerk of the church where your membership resides needs to have your current address. Attendance is not a test of fellowship. Faithful giving is not a test of fellowship. You don't have to be involved in ministry. You can be a pew potato, and it is not a test of fellowship. You can gossip behind everyone's back. It is not a test of fellowship. You can be mean and rude to visitors that come to your church, and it is not a test of fellowship. Membership is cheap. It costs nothing, and it asks for nothing. But discipleship is a different thing. And Jesus unpacks for us here in this commission the difference between being a church member and being a disciple. And let me tell you this. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Church members, show up to community worship when it is convenient for them. When it is convenient for them. And dare I even say, I wonder sometimes, why is it that we have to use clickers at the doors, in and out, to get you to come, or at least feel like we have to do that, to get you to come to Tuesday worship? If Jesus is going to show up here every Tuesday at 11:30 to 12:20, and I've never been in chapel, never once, where Jesus hasn't shown up, why wouldn't I want to be here? And let's take it even a little closer. Church members and their personal devotions have personal devotion when there's nothing else better to do. And the danger for you here in the seminary is that everything you do, your work, your schooling, your family life, all of that's involved, will shove out your personal devotional life while you're here at the seminary. And you'll justify it. You'll justify it. How do I know? Because I justified it when I was here working on my MDiv at the seminary. Well, Lord, you know, I'm studying to be a pastor here. You know, I've studied hard in my theology classes, and I'm tired. I wish I had time for you, but I don't. But thank you for understanding. Good night. And I told myself, and somebody, I'm talking to somebody right here. I'm talking to somebody that I told myself that when I finished seminary, when I was done here, that then when I had more time as a pastor, then I'd get serious about my personal devotional life. And what I discovered is when I left the seminary, my life didn't slow down as a pastor. My life sped up. And I recognized 3 years out of the seminary because I had not committed myself to being anything but a member that had personal devotions when I had nothing else to do. 3 years into ministry after leaving the seminary, I found myself physically, emotionally, spiritually burned out. And I took a call out of my conference into another state, just hoping that somehow that would re-energize me, till I finally discovered the only thing that could re-energize me and could re-energize my ministry is being at the feet of Jesus Christ. Notice again what it says here in Matthew 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. See, this is the difference. Members show up when it's convenient to them. But the disciples, when they knew that Jesus was calling them, he was going to show up on the mountain. Peter didn't say, "Well, I'm sorry, Lord, I already planned a fishing expedition today." Matthew did not say, "Well, you know, I'm getting ready to write the gospel, and so I need to study my Greek a little bit more." He said, "I don't care right now about my Greek. I don't care right now about my fishing." Not that they're not important. But what I care about right now is Jesus has said he's going to be on that mountain. And when Jesus says he's going to be there, disciples of Jesus will be there too. Church members come to community worship. They come to community worship to be seen by others, to swipe their card. Someone's a witness for me out there. I know it. All right? We come to swipe our cards and we hope that we will somehow be entertained by the worship experience. But notice what it says in verse number 17. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Disciples of Jesus come to worship for only one reason, because they know that Jesus is going to show up and they want to be where Jesus is going to show up. Church members, put Jesus in a box, and they separate their religious life from their secular life, and never should the two come together. And they keep Jesus away from those areas of their life that they simply don't want Jesus in. And they lock up all of the places in their heart. You know, it's like when somebody comes over to visit you unexpected, and you haven't had time to clean up. And so you take that one room, and you throw all your junk into that one room. And you hope that they don't say something like, "This is my first time in your home. Could you give me a tour of the whole place?" Well, no. You know, my master bedroom's private. No one enters there. and remember to do that. Jesus, you can come into the living room, but I don't want you in the bedroom. The disciples of Jesus Christ, look at this, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given unto me. Disciples of Jesus Christ never keep them in a box. They never shut any of the closets in their house. But they say, I recognize that you are Lord and Master of every last piece of my life. Church members rely on other people. They rely on programs. They rely on mailings to try to attract people to come to them. But notice what it says disciples do, verse 19. Disciples go, therefore. Jesus never called the lost to come to us. He called us to go to the lost. How are you doing with that, disciples of Jesus Christ? I've heard people here say, well, this is my vacation time. I've come to the seminary. It's been a couple of years of ministry, maybe more, and so I've come here to do nothing. I've come here just to study. I've come here just to hang out. If Jesus has called you to be a disciple, he's never called you to hang out. He's called you to go. And wherever you live, whatever neighborhood you exist in, here in your sojourn in Berrien Springs, God has placed you in that neighborhood to go to your neighbors. Whatever job it is that you are working to pay your tuition, God has placed you in that job because that's your mission field to go and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Church members, hear what Jesus says. But they never listen to what Jesus says. They hear what Jesus says, but they never listen to what Jesus says. It goes in one ear and it comes right back out the other. And so they never take and apply to their life what Jesus is saying. But notice verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. Disciples of Jesus sit at his feet, not just to hear what he's saying, but to listen to what he's saying, and by the grace of Jesus Christ, apply what he's saying into their lives. Church members, once in a while, say hello to Jesus. Once in a while, say hello to Jesus. But notice what disciples do, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Disciples of Jesus Christ know that Jesus is with them in every moment. They want to take Jesus with them everywhere they go. They want to do what they do in the presence of Jesus Christ, and they recognize that Jesus will go with them until the end of the age. And so I ask you today, I ask you, are you church members? Are you just seminarians? Or are you disciples of Jesus Christ? And I want you to understand that those are not necessarily mutually exclusive, all right? Because the disciple of Jesus Christ wants to be part of the community of Jesus Christ, wants to be part of his body, all right? So a disciple will also be a member of God's body in that worshiping community. A disciple who's been called to ministry will also be a seminarian. But being a church member and a seminarian does not make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you today, are you members? Are you seminarians? Or are you disciples of Jesus Christ? Jesus' arms are held wide open for you right now. There's a smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye, saying, I've been waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you. Are you willing to come and be his disciple? As we think about going and sending out, you've already heard Dr. Ortiz talk about the Cuba trip that's going to be taking place. We have students here, we have staff here, we have faculty here that are going to be going as disciples of Jesus to Cuba to make disciples. And so we want to send them away with a special prayer of dedication, a little laying on of hands, and a special prayer of dedication that commissions them
as they go out as disciples of Jesus Christ. So if all of those that are going to be involved in this trip could just make your way to the front. Just make your way to the front. We want to pray for you. Come on down. And if you wouldn't mind stepping up on the stage, because I'll never get down to you right now. And the dean of the seminary is here to pray for you a special prayer of dedication as we commission you to go out. Since I can't lay my hands on all of you, I'll just hold my hands up and let the Spirit flow.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you called us to be your disciples. Forgive us that we sometimes really behave like members. And we want to ask for forgiveness of our sins, that you will give us again new zeal to follow you and follow you faithfully, to be faithful. Because you are always faithful to us. We want to thank you for your commission. You want that we are your witnesses. And we want to be your witnesses in our homes, in our neighborhood, in the seminary, at Andrews University, in every place you are sending us. And so we want to give ourselves again into your hands. Please create pure heart within us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that whatever we do always with you, acknowledging your presence in our life and living to your glory. So bless us where we are, where we will be in the today or next days or the next week, if we are here or abroad, that you can bless us, that we can be a blessing for others.
Yes.
And now in front of me are those who want to go especially to Cuba, to that communist country where, you know, the message about you is almost forbidden to be preached. And they are going there. So we want especially to ask for your protection, for your guidance, for your blessing, that when they will interact with people, they can be your witnesses. They can present you in their behavior to them. They can be attracted through their behavior, through their words to you, to follow you.
Yes.
So bless them when they will interact, but also when they will preach, that your word will be powerful and used by your Holy Spirit to touch not only mind of these people, but also hearts, that they can dedicate their life to you and be saved for eternity. So bless their ministry there in Cuba, and bless our ministry wherever we are, that we all together, like your sons and daughters, as your family, we proclaim your name. And we prepare people for your soon second coming.
Yes, Lord.
So we give ourselves into your hands, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.